nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Or should I start saying good evening, depending on where you are in the country. If you're on the East Coast, it's 7 to 9. Central Time, 6 to 8. Mountain, that would make it what? Yeah, you get it. By the way, every once in a while, I get stuff that just makes me smile. And Candy in New Mexico, I just got your Christmas card. And it's an unusual one. This one has a picturesque little village, kids out ice skating. Oh, there's Santa's sleigh with the reindeer. But wait, there's no Santa because he's on the ground being held at bay by the local police. And they got their hands around Rudolph's neck. And right at the bottom of the card in the old English style, it says the right to remain silent night. And she says, "Hi, John. Merry Christmas. I bought this card in the early 1990s, waiting for the perfect person to send it to. Thanks for the great radio station. I wanted you to know that I listened to at least 8 different radio hosts, but you and Deanna are the best. Well, Candy, thank you." And I got one from Mike Rivero, and I don't know what the hell it is. There's something about these people that live out in the middle of the Pacific that, you know, they're connected, but sometimes they aren't, if you know what I mean. I'll have to ask Mike about it. You may have heard this woman before, or you may not have. If you just listen to a few shows on this network, then you may not know of the program In Defense of Humanity, and you may not know Al Whitney. Well, I know Al Whitney. Hi, Al Whitney.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fair to middling, hoping to get through this holiday season and just have done with it.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, well, they all have their different reasons, I'm sure.
My husband thinks we should have Christmas every other year. He thinks every year is excessive.
Well, and you know what? Can we do the same damn thing with Remembrance Day, which most people call birthdays?
Yeah.
And you know, birthdays are fun when you're a kid and teen and, you know, being a young adult or, you know, that's fun. But after you get to a certain point in your life and you're watching the years tick off, and it happens in groups of 10, decade. Okay, when from 1 to 10, man, you're just living life and you're just enjoying it. Everything's a new experience, new sights, new sounds, new smells. Everything is new. And then you go for the next decade from 10 to 20. And sometime in that interim, you wish you were older. Okay, 10 years goes by, and now you're older. And now you're staring 40 in the face. Now, once you hit 40, somebody has already recorded. I said this years ago, Al. Somebody has already recorded your entire life. And about time you hit 40 years old, somebody hits the fast forward on the VCR of life. You still see the images. You don't hear any sound, but things are moving mighty quickly. And the next damn thing, you turn around and you're wondering how many more days you have left. Now, somebody's idea, and I'm sure it was a conspiracy by Hallmark and the ilk, that, you know, well, let's let's do this birthday card thing. Okay, well, at a point, it's a countdown to your termination. And who the hell wants to think about that?
I agree.
Oh, boy. You're only born once. Your mama only spit you in this world one time. That was a birthday. The rest of them are just remembrance days.
Just think of how much smarter we get every year, though, John.
You know, and I've thought about that as well, Al. Jeez, you're just a potpourri here of sneaking around in my head looking in the creaky, craggy little corners. But once you accumulate all this knowledge and you try to pass it off to people that would really need that knowledge, they don't want to pay attention to you because you're too damn old and what do you know?
Yeah.
Whoa. Well,
true.
So, have you saved the world?
Well, I never set out to save the world. I'd like the world to stop consenting to its own demise, however. And unfortunately, because of the way they structured the legal system, we're still doing it and don't even know we're doing it.
Well, we have aberration of law. Now, everybody knew about the Magna Carta. That was the basis for our Constitution. And everything was ducky dandy. We did not have uniform commercial code, or we didn't have commerce clauses, and we didn't have somebody's good idea hiring a lawyer or being a lawyer, being in service, supposedly in an elected office for us, which, by the way, folks, prior to the Civil War, there was, you were banished. If you were a person of nobility, a title of nobility, if you were a barrister, is what they called lawyers at the time, you weren't allowed to hold public office. But now we've got, well, let's just save a step here. Now we've got lawyers that are representatives, supposedly, of us in the U.S. Congress assembled. And they have found very neat and creative ways to bypass the Constitution and its intent. As I read the Constitution, and Al, I don't know if you agree with me or not. I have never spoken to you about this. But I look at the Constitution, the federal Constitution, as being a colored book for the stupid. In other words, here it is in very simple language. We're not going to give you too many rules, but obey them. Here's your comic book, and don't color outside the lines. Well, how many tens of thousands of boxes of Crayolas have they run through so far?
Well, what they did is they suspended the Constitution in 1933 because of a state of national emergency, and it's remained suspended ever since. They've always got a new national emergency or a new war, and the president just files this new emergency with the Federal Register and notifies Congress and maintains this permanent state of national emergency. And during a national emergency, he needs a whole group of administrative agencies to help him manage it.
Who he? Are we talking about the POTUS dude?
Whoever's sitting in that chair, the CEO of USA Inc. And they're now up to, in case you didn't know this, John, they're now up to 450 agencies of the federal government.
What?
450. And that comes directly from their website. You should see the list. They're into everything.
Well, I 400, and not one of them are constitutional.
Correct. But we're in a permanent state of national emergency. Now, the latest one is the war on terror.
Oh, yes.
And Obama renewed it in 2012, 2013, 2014. All he does is renew the permanent state of national emergency. And he can keep all his agencies, and he can wage war without congressional permission. It's all in Senate Report 93549, which was compiled in 1973, so I can't believe that Congress doesn't know about it.
Oh.
By Frank Church, who was known to be a good guy. And if you look at that report and you look at who was involved in the research and how many statutes they looked at, and what their conclusions were, you're just stupefied that the whole country doesn't know about it. But again, the bar attorneys don't talk about it. I showed it to a bar attorney, and he said to me, well, that doesn't matter.
Well, and I'm like, and of course you queried him as to what doesn't matter.
That report, he said to me. Oh, I don't care what some Senate report.
It didn't matter to him personally, or it just was null and void, and who gives a damn?
It was who gives a damn, because the Senate report doesn't mean anything. But in fact, this was a very well-known attorney who made that comment, and I realized he was just covering his own self, because he goes around and preaches the Constitution, and he even made a movie about permanent states of emergency that they're not, the Constitution doesn't allow for it.
Oh, don't tell me his first name was Larry.
No, but it could have been. This guy works with Larry. His first name was Edwin.
Oh. You know, I remember having a conversation with that gentleman years ago. And, yeah. and I said to him, I said, can you explain to me what the hell a constitutional attorney is? I said, because I understand the court system we have. I understand we're being administrated to. I understand they got all kinds of rules, regulations, policies, and, you know, you don't follow those things, and, well, you can just get yourself in all kinds of trouble. And I said, you know, I imagine you right now. I've never seen you personally. Well, I saw you once, but I've never seen you personally in your office. I said, let me see if I can describe it for you. You got a nice wooden desk. You probably have wool carpeting on the floor. You've got all these volumes of law books behind you. But let me ask you the question again. What in the hell is a constitutional attorney? And he really couldn't answer the question. I said, so you're going into the administrative court armed with your constitution, which doesn't mean a damn thing to these people. And you're out there doing what? Making a name for yourself, supposedly being a constitutional attorney, when you couldn't represent us because you are really a member of the bar of their little country club that doesn't represent us?
I was
livid. If I would have had that man, and I was standing next to a swimming pool at the time, if I would have had that man within arm's reach, we would have went swimming for a while.
Good for you.
You know, can I say his name?
Yes.
What's Larry's last name? I forgot it.
Larry's last name starts with a B, Beecraft.
There you go. That's it. Yep. There you go. Yeah. It's been a lot of years. I have a tendency to flush out and eliminate in my head those things that I don't want hanging around, and Beecraft was one of them.
Right. He's a gatekeeper. So he runs around telling everybody the Constitution is still the law of the land, and he knows better, but that's his job.
But I understand this in its entirety, Al. So you showed him Senate Report 93549 from 1973 by Frank Church, and he looked at you and said, this doesn't matter.
No, it was Edwin who did that.
Oh,
and Edwin did a video with the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes.
Oh, the Harvard guy. The man from Harvard.
And they were saying that the Constitution doesn't allow them to have a state of national emergency. And he made that comment on my website, and I said, well, did you read Senate Report 53249? He said, I don't care what some Senate report says. And I wrote him back and I said, well, they don't care what you say either, because they've maintained this state of emergency for 70 years straight.
Now, Edwin's last name wasn't Rivera, was it?
Vieira, yes.
Edwin Vieira said that there's no provision in the Constitution for a national emergency, though therefore it does not exist.
Therefore, they can't do that. I love it when people tell me that. Well, they can't do that.
Oh.
And I'm like, what an argument, John. They can't do that. Well, they've done it for 80 years, so.
So the next time I've got the administrative state, they're pulling me over. They don't like something. They think that I'm somebody different than who I am, and I've got a gun pointed in my face. And I look at them, and I tell them, you can't do that. Does that then make the little shooter and his little pop gun go away? Does it make it disappear? Does it just disappear into vapor because they can't do that? But yet my eyes, unless I can't believe my lying eyes, there they are standing there doing that.
Well, yeah, and when our country invades another country without any congressional authority, What are we supposed to say to the military? I'm sorry, you can't do that.
I'm sure.
Do you know
the story behind tar and feathering?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay, well, you're familiar with the term. Oh, you ought to be tarred and feathered.
Yes, I am familiar.
Okay, well, that statement, there was a little thing that was left off of that. When they tarred and feathered you, you were pretty much first basted in tar, slathered with tar. They would roll you in chicken feathers or goose down, whatever they had available. And then they would light it on fire.
Oh.
Now, I wonder, under penalty of being rolled in chicken feathers, whether... And I can't believe Edwin Vieira told you that. I know Ed.
Yep.
What the hell? You know, and let me, before we get into anything else, Al, because I'm glad you brought this up. I'm very glad that you brought this up. Because what we have seen are the eager beavers and the people that don't want to do the cut and paste with other people's research. They'll go into things, they'll interpret, and then they'll come up with their idea of what they have just read and ways in which to either get around it or smash it forever and ever. Amen. And then there's another group over here that would much rather stick pins and needles in the other group's eyes because they don't see things exactly the way the other group does. I have seen this going on for 3 freaking decades.
Yep, me too.
Well, you know, it's really great. It's really great that we're smoldering. We're a churning burn of funk here, of burning funk. We're melting down. And we got somebody to look you in the eye and tell you, well, they can't do that. Well, I'm sorry. It was once said that, you know, to violate the Constitution, that was a very serious offense. Well, how many different ways have we been separated from our Constitution by these creatures?
Well, the number one way that I know you know about, because Ronald McDonald talks about it all the time, is they got rid of our sovereign money. That was the first
well,
thing.
Well, they can't do that.
That's right.
But lo and behold, they did. There's no provision in the Constitution. I read the Constitution now, and let me play Edwin Vieira for a second. There's no lawful authority for them to do anything except prescribe that the Treasury, and they figure out the weights and the measures, and there is your money. Now, that's not what we have today, and we know in our hearts of hearts and by way of the Constitution they can't do it, but I can show you a pile of worthless dollars. They did it.
They did it.
Oh, my God.
And Congress can't give away the U.S. Treasury to the Federal Reserve Bank. I'm sure they can't do that, but guess what? In 1920, that's exactly what they did. They gave away the U.S. Treasury. They closed it and gave it to the Federal Reserve in 1920 with the passage of the Independent Treasury Act.
But they can't do that. Man, wait till I get Ed Vieira on. God almighty. But what bothers me, you brought up another guy. I don't know if I should say this on air or not. No? Mike knows me well, and he said, no, don't say it. Well, let me just put it to you this way. Oath Keepers, you know, that's a great idea. Law enforcement, it doesn't matter if it's local or, hell, if you're an FBI agent, I guess you're considered law enforcement. But, you know, for current military and police officers, you know, whether they're retired or whether they're active or whatever, what a great idea, you know, to swear the constitutional oath. And you're reaffirming that you're going to obey, and by that, you're protecting. Okay, but... let me think about this for a few minutes, because this has got me really perplexed. I don't know exactly what Oath Keepers is attempting to do. No reason to get
excited. My name is...
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me,
call me Al. I just had to play that for you, Al.
Thank you.
So, Stuart Rhodes over gatekeepers.org. Oathkeepers. I'm sorry. Oathkeepers.
That whole thing came up when it came to my attention that they released a new documentary called Midnight Ride, When Rogue Politicians Call for Martial Law, and I watched it. And it was based on a book written by Edwin Vieira titled By Tyranny Out of Necessity.
That's a long book.
Okay. And they included D.V. Kidd in the list of credits, you know. And I just watched that and I was just incensed because we've been in a permanent state of national emergency since 1933 for sure. Well, I wrote an article on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. titled Constitutional Bar Attorneys Are Gaslighting Americans. Okay? Well, that caught his attention, somebody must have sent it to him because I mentioned his name in the, for the credit for the movie and the book and the whole nine yards. And that's when he sent me this email saying he didn't care what the Senate report said.
And now you're talking about Larry Becraft.
No, Edwin Vieira.
Edwin Vieira, a Harvard... Wait a minute, a Harvard-instructed lawyer didn't right. care, but he's out there for truth, justice, and the American way, and he's right. got all the names of all the active and retired military and cops? Whoa.
And he's working with Stuart Rhodes. So they're gaslighting all these people. John, what can I say? And I think it's horrific.
It's more
as long
than,
as you keep the people in the twilight zone, they're never going to listen to real solutions because they're going to keep hoping they're going to go into that courtroom and their Bill of Rights is going to protect them. And as long as the people are kept in the matrix, they will be victimized.
Look, I got news for you. Anybody I have ever seen walked into one of these administrative courts to stand on their constitutional rights are immediately admonished by the judge, saying, right. don't pretend to tell me the law. I know the law. And by the way, I took constitutional classes. That was required for me to get my law degree. But you're not going to stand in my courtroom, and you're not going to stand on your rights. You're charged with statute such and such or codified this or whatever.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you persist in this, I'm going to find you in contempt. I, Al, have watched actually a judge remand somebody to a mental institution because he was standing on his constitutional rights.
Well, have you seen the horrific thing that's going on with child support? I mean, I know people who lost their job and can't pay child support, and the result is they go to jail.
Well, it's
now, does that make any sense to you? That makes me so mad.
Well, you know, it's like anything else. It's like the bill collectors, that those are the only people that really had a full-time job in the last 8 years.
Yes.
And I asked one of these clowns, they said, you know, I said, I know you got a job to do. And I said, you know, in normal times, there are people that are deadbeats or they're not real attentive or they just have larceny or malevolence in their heart, and they really didn't intend to pay up on the contract. And I said, I understand that. But I got into it with a... Somebody was connected with the Chase Bank.
Oh, good now, choice.
Now, what they did was I had a card through Chase, a credit card, and it had a whopping limit of $2,500. And I think at the time that I finally paid the thing off, and it was like a balance of $2,400. 2 weeks later, I get a notice that my card's been canceled. So naturally, being the inquiring guy that I am, because I only used it for the network if I needed payroll or I was short a bill and something was impending to get shut off. So I'm talking, and this is the last person that you can complain to in the entire system, and share her little butt sitting in New York. Now, mind you, I'm in the manager's office at the branch down here in Round Rock, Texas. It's a female. She's sitting across the desk. This thing is on a speakerphone. And she says, well, you know, you just because you've had an account with us, you know, we treat you like we treat anybody else from time to time. We do credit reports, and if you don't match up, you know, you're canceled. And I said, so, wait a minute. I said, let me understand this. I said, I had a card. I've always got a balance enough to at least cover that. You know, because I have to. My payroll is like $1,600 a week. I said, so the money is always in there. So I pay the balance. You cancel the card because I didn't meet your credit standards. But up until now, everything was cool. I said, now, if you haven't noticed, the country has been plunged into the middle ages here. We have a little banking snafu that you and your brethren have been a part of. And I asked her the all-important question. I said, do you even know what kind of debt that was rung up by these financial institutions that we have been put on the hook to pay? And she said, no. And I says, well, it's one of those figures that they don't like to pass around because if people really realized what had happened to them and they're on the hook to pay for it, they'd be running around in streets with nooses to hang your butts. And she said, this is what really set me off. She said, look, if you cannot be responsible to carry your own obligations, that's your fault. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I went off. And I can't say on the air with the attending female manager, mind you, sitting in this office right across the desk. I used a few expletives and I said, you know, you're out of your mind. I said, who and what do you think you're talking to? Some dumbass someplace that, you know, is just on the tail end of the at and whipping in the wind at any given turn because somebody has the power to screw you to the wall? I said, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Well, and John, I don't know if you've had this on your show. I'm pretty sure you're aware of it. They started exporting our jobs after NAFTA, right? And then what they did is they built this housing bubble. They were giving mortgages to anyone who could fog a mirror. Well, they're moving jobs offshore, right?
Yeah.
So they build this housing bubble, and all these people think they're going to have a job, and they're out buying bigger houses. People I know who really shouldn't have been given a mortgage were given mortgages they shouldn't have been given. Then when the crash hits, and all of a sudden these people, the building boom is done. They don't have jobs. They're unemployed. What do? In 2005, Congress passes the Bankruptcy Abuse Act and makes it far more difficult than it has ever been for these people who got caught in this scam to file bankruptcy.
Not only file bankruptcy, but you no longer can include in that bankruptcy credit card debt.
Student loan debt.
There you go.
And how about child support? All of this was done intentionally. This was an economic attack by the banking cartel against the American people. And don't get me started because it makes
sense. No. I like cranking people like you up, Al, because you know what? We have been way too easy. I mean, here, folks, try to get your mind wrapped around this. That we have a group of people operating illegally, according to our Constitution in this country, controlling this economy, controlling the purse strings to just about everybody and everything, including the paid-for and bought-for politicians.
Right.
They have used their profits to buy up everything in sight. In which to condition and control and mind screw the people, and I'm talking about the media. So I'm to be what? Well, what am I to be here? Am I to be pissed off beyond belief? I don't think we're angry enough.
Oh, I am really angry about this because I watched it and I watched the student loans. Remember the whole thing? I watched as tuition just rose and rose and rose. And then I'm watching these people graduate. They can't get a job, and they can't pay their student loan, and they can't bankrupt out of it. That is just another horrific, horrific financial warfare attack against our young people.
But Bernie wanted to give everybody free college.
Well,
does that mean...
Why don't they just cancel the student loan and give us a shot?
Well, but you think about this. And, yeah, the colleges recognized, oh, there's government money coming in. And for a while, the only people that were enrolling in U.S. colleges were the affluent foreigners that were able to come into the country and go to university and get a good education. And, you know, we were left flapping in the wind. So then they offered us student loans. Oh, well, you can borrow money and then get your degree, and then you can pay us back.
And you'll get a job.
And we've got kids, and they're still kids. I consider them kids, that are graduating college, think that they've got, and I speak from experience on this one, folks, think that they've got the world by the tail, they've got a good understanding of it, and then they try to apply, and there's nothing there for them. There's nowhere to apply their wonderful accumulated knowledge because there's no jobs to be had. But in the meantime... In the meantime, that student loan is sitting there. And we have the middleman. Are those student loans interest-free? No.
No.
They're not. So if Bernie Sanders were, say, to become president, and the United States government says, well, there's going to be free college tuition for anybody that wants to attend college, and of course you got to maintain a grade point average of such and such, and we have a few other requirements, but there you go, here's your college tuition. Where exactly did that money come from? It ain't free. I have yet to see a college professor going, oh, well, I'm a true communist socialist. I'll do this for free. Or how does the university itself pay its bills? Are they free as well? Does the power company give them free electricity? Does the gas company give them free gas? Somebody somewhere always has to pay. And in this utopian mindset, Al, it's everybody else.
Ain't me. Here's the problem, John. Let's just say you've got an honest person who really thought he was going to get a job, and he got into 12, sometimes $18,000 worth of debt. Now he gets a job maybe at Walmart, and he can't pay the debt. Well, they've also passed legislation now that allows employers to deduct some of this student loan from their paycheck. He's not even making enough money to support himself, and now they're saying they're going to allow employers to deduct money from the paycheck. I mean, it's the most horrific economic warfare attack against our young people that I ever could have imagined. And guess what happens if they have a tax return where they get a refund? They hold the refund until the student loan is paid off. Meanwhile, the student loan interest
accrues,
is getting more. It's accumulating, so the student loan is growing.
So the middlemen, the bankster gangsters, the middlemen that have created this supposed wealth out of nothing, loaned it to you for a fee, and now there's an escalating clause in this little contract, and you may never get out of that. You know, I'm glad you told me that, because I never took out a student loan. I've never known anybody personally, close to me rather, that's taken out a student loan. And I couldn't imagine that the people kept saying that, well, I can't pay my loans back. Now, I understand why. The juice is still running, Guido.
Yep. And you can't get out of it with bankruptcy. This is really one of the largest tragedies that ever has befallen our young people. It's outrageous. And they keep raising the tuition. So once he's in his first year, if the tuition goes up, well, then to get to the second year, he's got to take out more of a student loan. And it's just debt slavery, but it's all debt slavery, isn't it, John?
I did not open up the phones, nor I had any intention of doing so. Generally, I announce when I'm going to open up the phones, but I've got Chris in Las Vegas that has called up, and he wants to Budinsky into our program here. Hello, Budinsky. No, I'm just teasing you, Chris. I'm teasing.
Well, that's quite all right. Hello, Al and John.
Hey, Al
is one of my favorite girls on the radio show with truth-telling, and they're studying the law, much like myself, and I appreciate it. In fact, I was particularly appreciative of her comment regarding the bar gaslighting America, as one who has been specifically gaslighted, having false information placed upon my formerly empty criminal record to incriminate me and throw gasoline on the fire and make me susceptible to being taken out to silence another voice of truth out here in the wilderness is very clear and apparent.
Wow.
Okay.
They are gaslighting the American people. There's no question about it.
What's gaslighting me?
Did you see the movie, John? John, there was a movie in 1944 with Ingrid Bergman and, what's the other guy's name, called Gaslighting. And he wanted his wife's money, so he was trying to make her insane. And he would tell her, she would say, the light is flickering. And he would say, well, no, it's not, when he was actually causing the light to flicker. And she would hear sounds in the attic. And she'd say, what are those sounds up there? And he would say, I don't hear anything. You must be imagining things. So every time she would make an honest observation that something was amiss, he would tell her that wasn't true. She was imagining things. And
sounds
they
like,
called the movie Gaslight.
Sounds like a Vincent Price movie. All right, Chris.
Wasn't that a Alfred Hitchcock movie?
It could have been. Who was the name of the actor, the male actor? Oh, Lawrence. No.
I don't recall, but the other thing I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris, because I want to stay on point here. Go ahead.
I'm going to. You mentioned Stuart Rhodes, and I have to tell you, I was one at the foundational organizational meeting of the Oath Keepers, which had wonderful ideals. I mean, it was everything that veterans and others that had served our country, who loved America, wanted to hold high and idealistic and live and ascribe to. However, it's turned out that it's basically a honey trap that Stuart Rhodes, being the bar esquire attorney that he is, has perverted and converted it to other purposes, and I think it's being used as a large dragnet of data intel of gathering lists of America-loving patriots that would generally do what they're supposed to do.
Okay, well, and to be fair, Chris, that's one Mac Daddy of an accusation, and that's one that I will not make. I've suspected the same myself. If you're not paying attention, you don't keep your head on a swivel in this world today, you can end up, well, dead. But
well,
I want to make this clear. Now, he might have morphed this into something for his own use, but to stretch this that he's using the database to turn it over to the feds, that's pretty strong, Chris.
Well, don't misunderstand me, John. There are a lot of really wonderful people involved in that organization who were deceived also, and still hold the ideals and principles it was founded upon at the highest pinnacle of respect. I'm merely saying that there are a lot of agents for the government who, whether he's turning his list over completely or not, or targeting special individuals, I can't tell you, but he's actually been to my house here when Tom Lockevera was here, and I've seen some things go on that caused me to be very, very concerned about the true intentions of the people at the top of that organization. And that's where I have the trepidation and concerns that I wish people would be more aware of. And that's all I'm saying.
What was the reason given for not showing up for Mal here?
Well, you'd have to check with Mr. Rhodes about that. Maybe he had some inside intel that the rest of us didn't know about what was going down there. I can't tell you. I thought that he actually started to at the very front, and maybe he was uninvited, as I recall.
All right. Well, okay, Chris, I appreciate the call.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, here's another one. I didn't invite calls, but why are you putting him on my board? All right, Mike in New York, and no more calls. Okay, hello, Mike.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I just wanted to bring up a subject you were bringing up before about credit and reporting and now the student loans and all that. You know, and you're on the phone with these companies trying to argue with them and tell them, you know, they destroy your credit for that. Sometimes it's even, you know, just to bring up some advice, it's easier to dispute it with the credit bureaus, you know, instead of going to the company, you know, because in reality, even in some ways, you know, Jamie Dimon is even beholden to the credit bureau. You know, you might have a better, you know, avenue going about it with that, so you can dispute it and actually get somewhere.
Yeah, but, okay, your question is what?
Oh, I was just bringing up, you know, you were talking about credit, and, you know, even child support can be disputed on your credit report.
Yeah, but we weren't talking about a credit report per se. We were talking about
per se.
Yeah, we were talking about not being able to do credit cards or child support or student loans or whatever else. If you're flat, busted, destitute, and the only thing you've got enough money to do is to go hire one of these snake pit attorneys to file the paperwork for you so it's done properly, because we know the government likes to kick paperwork out unless all the T's are crossed and the I's dotted and the commas and the dashes included. But, you know, here we still are.
Yeah, no, it's going to Vegas no matter which way you turn. There's no great answer. You walk into court, you're a loser. You try to talk to these companies, you're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's no great answer, you know. But in reality, what holds most Americans back? All right, income, you know, credit. Unfortunately, I hate the system, but that's the way, you know, this hamster wheel slavery system got rolling.
Right.
You know, they made a lot of money. These companies, Visa, made a lot of money off of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you look up the term MasterCard holder and where it came from.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
I remember the first one that came out. It wasn't MasterCard. It was MasterCharge. And then Visa followed. And this was introduced shortly after the gold window was closed. Now, I'm sure that's just an accident. But the government discovered that, wait a minute, we can borrow on future earnings and tax collection of we the people out here. And, well, we can support 450 agencies. We can pay god-awful retirement accounts. Even though that you might have been caught and convicted, you still get your retirement. And we can keep this buffoon circus in Washington, D.C. rolling quite nicely. You, by the way, you want to know how many people are employed by the federal government through their 450 agencies, the 555 the critters assembled for Congress, the president, and everybody else? Try this one. 2.1 million, which makes it the largest corporation on the face of the earth.
And the IRS is the biggest collection company on the face of the planet.
All right. Well, Mike, I'm going to let you and your traffic go. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. I'm in a van down by the freeway.
I hear you. All right, man. Thanks. A van.
John, I got sent a little request from your board op, and I wanted to meet that request. Apparently, there was confusion about the Senate report, so I want to clarify it. I looked it up. The Senate report, 93549. If anyone wants to look at it, they can go to anticorruptionsociety.com. There's a tab at the top that says source documents. Click on that page, scroll down. There's a whole bunch of source documents, and you'll see there Senate report 93549, and you can click on it and read it for yourself.
2.1 million.
Wow.
Now, you know, all these people get the best of health care. They get big, fat salaries every week, every month, every year. They get big, fat retirements that are paid until they're dead. No damn wonder.
Yeah.
You know, that there aren't really any tax breaks given because they don't shut the monster down that's sucking up all the money.
And there is a federal agency, incidentally, in charge with giving money to the states for the enforcement of child support. They get a grant, okay? They get money to enforce child support. So what I found when I did my research, that the forms that a father might fill out when his income goes down to get the child support adjusted, they don't like to give out that form. Because if they do, the amount of money coming into the agency, if more and more fathers are allowed to pay less, they get less money coming into their agency.
So we just...
I verified that. And
so
that
we,
is the ongoing scam.
So we just play hide and peek here.
Yes.
With the form that you would need to lessen the temperature of the hot water that you're in.
Correct.
Oh, I don't know if it was a good idea bringing you up here today, because I'm starting to get very, very angry.
Same people behind it all, though, right? Same people behind it all.
Bankster gangsters.
Bankster gangsters, yep.
Well, the good news is that worldwide, people are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, the New World Orderites and what they have constructed, they don't like it. They don't like it. But so far, the only country that has done any damn substantive thing about it has been Iceland.
Yes.
And they threw the dirty little bankster bastards in jail, as we should have done. We handed out a couple hundred billion dollars in fines while these clowns walked off with over a quadrillion dollars. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, you know, all that's not, you know, it's debt. That wasn't just money. I said, hold on here a second. I said, they were selling stuff. If you're selling, you're making a profit. Hell, they got to the point that they were selling insurance on accounts that they knew were going to blow up. I said, somebody got paid. That money went somewhere, and I want it back. Well, how are you going to get it back? It's like the Hillary Clinton, you know, little wretch that she is. you know, today in the news, Al, they said, well, you know, I guess the Clinton investigation is still ongoing. Really? Because what I'm hearing, Al, the constitutional crisis that was alluded to a couple of months ago over the election process, no. The real constitutional crisis would have been finding out how many people were involved with Hillary Clinton and her little foundation, and how many people have been laundering money, how many people have been evading this and buying that and buying influence and whatever else. That would unto itself be a constitutional crisis. But you and I looking at this and going, well, wait a minute here. Isn't the bigger the criminal, the harder that they should fall? The maximum sentences should be handed out to deter other people from doing the same kind of criminality? That's what I've always been told.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to take a 3-minute break here. I skipped the bottom of the hour break, by the way. We'll take 3 minutes here, come back with Al Whitney from the program on this network, Defense of Humanity, on Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
The website, anticorruptionsociety.com. Folks, I would highly suggest that you go and lose yourself in all the reading material that is on this site in an attempt to acquaint yourself with the form of government we have today. I guess at this point in time, we should get into some of their machinations here. I asked you before the show. I've had people come back to me and say that, well, what do you mean the United States is a corporation? That's hogwash. Where is the exact definition that spells out capital U, United, capital S, States, means a federal corporation?
Okay. Type in your search engine, folks. 28 U.S. Code, Section 3002, Definitions. Scroll down to number 15, and I'm going to read you exactly what number 15 says. Number 15, quote, United States, unquote, the U is capitalized, the S is capitalized, means, dash, a federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, or C, an instrumentality of the United States.
So they're telling you the whole damn thing's set up like a corporate board.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And the president is the CEO, and he's got all these departments that we are calling agencies, but it's like the different departments of IBM. And each one manages a different area. There's one for child support.
Okay, but the different agents or the different departments of IBM, the employees aren't carrying guns with mandates to use it if you resist.
That's correct.
So that doesn't matter.
Well, it does and it doesn't. You're right about the gun. You can't argue with a gun. But it matters in the sense of how we treat them when they... when they send us a letter. I got a letter here. I adopted a dog, and they sent me an application, and the corporation from the county corporation sent me a letter, and it was an invitation to apply for a dog license. Okay? Now, they're going to tell me that I have to. I got this dog. I have to send them money and register my dog. Now, understanding that the county is a corporation means everything. How do I respond to this letter? Once I get that, I understand that they cannot force me to apply, but I can volunteer to apply.
Oh, so they make it look official and tell you you have to, and this is by law, but when you don't, there's not a damn thing they can do to you?
Well, they can try, but we have ways of challenging that. And our ways of challenging it is send them a letter back and saying, you know, as the county corporation, you're obligated under the UCC and laws of contract. Please provide me with the contract that I signed, agreeing to abide by your rules. Thanks so much.
And they never hear from them again.
How did you guess?
Stick around, folks. We're going to have Al Whitney with us into the next hour. And not yet. We'll open up phone lines if you want to ask a few questions, because I'm sure that you have some. And, and the little thing that I'm going through here, we have to pay a business tax here in Round Rock. Yep. That's to continue to pay a tax year after year on all your business equipment and computers. And I actually, it's $700 a year. I got a letter not too long ago from a group of attorneys representing Williamson County. And they said, if you don't pay this tax, we're going to foreclose on you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
WB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.